This meeting of the Senate Finance Committee will come to order. We only have one item on the agenda, and due to a paperwork mix-up, we can't have the actual vote this morning, but we're going to take all questions, discussion, debate, anything of that sort today, and then it'll be just a pro forma vote on the next committee hearing. You can't amend it, so we don't need, I told Commissioner Showalter, he doesn't have to be back here then because we can vote yes to confirm or you can vote against it. Those are the two options. So there's nothing to debate other than today. If you have questions or concerns or anything, today's the chance to do that. And before I forget, so this afternoon beginning at 1 o'clock, I believe, Senate Council Research and Fiscal Analysis is doing a two-day thing this afternoon beginning about 1 o'clock, going to 3:30, and then tomorrow from 10:30 until 12:30. They're presenting each part of the budget for members of the Senate and staff. It's a good briefing for people. If you're available, I'd encourage you to attend any parts you can. Mr. Nauman sent out a schedule to everybody in email, and I will announce that at the floor session as well, but I want to encourage people to do that. And with that, Commissioner Showalter, welcome back to the Senate Finance Committee. And if you wish, please go ahead and make your brief statement or whatever.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Mr. Chair, members. For the record, my name is Jim Showalter, Commissioner of Minnesota Management and Budget. I appreciate you all making your way through the snow this morning hearing today. And I'll give you a few opening remarks, and then, as you said, Mr. Chair, happy to take any questions. Chair Marty, members of the Senate Finance Committee, for the record, my name is Jim Showalter, and I was appointed by Governor Waltz to serve as Commissioner of Minnesota Management and Budget. And I'm honored to be here before you today. I've spent nearly 20 years at Minnesota Management and Budget and its predecessor, the Department of Finance, serving as commissioner under Governors Dayton and Tim Walz, and as state budget director from 2004 to 2011 under Governor Pawlenty. As commissioner, I serve as the state's chief financial officer, the chief accounting officer, the controller, and even the chief human resource officer. MMB has a number of responsibilities, as you well know, going from bargaining for employee insurance for over 50,000 employees to collective bargaining on behalf of the state. Over the years, I've managed the state's budget when faced with heavy deficits, and now when we enjoy a historic state balance of nearly $18 billion. I think you can guess which one I prefer. I am really proud of the accomplishments over the years, and they are all just team efforts. I know you are voting and looking at me as the leader of this group, but I cannot say enough about my colleagues and the organization that I'm privileged enough to serve with. In 2022, the state received the highest bond ratings from all three major rating agencies. It's been decades since we had that recognition. It's been a long climb up, and it not only serves to help lower our interest rates, but it also, I think, serves to recognize the joint efforts of the legislature, the executive branch, and just Minnesotans generally, of having a solid state government, a predictable and steady way of governing our obligations, and a positive economic outlook. And these are things that I think we should all take pride in achieving. When the pandemic hit, MMB built and staffed the state's nation-leading COVID-19 response, quickly developed the governor's response and recovery budget, and negotiated with the legislature to keep things running. As those of you who have been around the Capitol for a while, and those of you who haven't, may know, we and the executive branch and the legislature were constantly going back and forth, making a weekly or monthly set of budget changes, not an annual or a biennial budget, constantly trying to respond to what's the next thing up. In the process, we also returned more than $300 million in state money in COVID appropriations to the general fund by seeking federal reimbursement and making sure that we maximized federal aid where possible. It's one of those little sung kind of operations where we had people looking at and making sure that we were lining up the money to the most advantageous way for the state possible. Now, while our team is small, the leverage and the opportunities to help improve the state's financial position are large. By refinancing debt in 2020, we achieved over $100 million in combined general fund and trunk highway savings. That capital budget, that sort of bonding operation, results in hundreds of billions of dollars of transactions, and making sure that we do that correctly and accurately is a constant challenge for us. And we responded to long-term changes in workforce expectations and ongoing safety concerns as COVID-19 evolved by crafting workplace and safety policies that meet the needs of today and into the future. And that's probably one of those huge, like it's a small bullet, but it's actually a huge topic because our talent, our the generational shift, making sure that our workplace is fair and equitable, making sure that we look and work like Minnesota is a challenge for the state government generally. And as the leader of our enterprise employee resources team, our CGIP team, all of these operations, it is an important and valued part of this role. And I think an expanding one, that it's more than just money. It's about the people and the people that make that money and use it wisely. So looking ahead, we look forward to taking on new challenges in service of all Minnesotans. With our projected $18 billion balance, we have a one-in-a-generation opportunity to make significant investments that will improve the lives of all Minnesotans. We're increasing our focus on recruitment and retention of state talent, fraud prevention, fiscal management leadership, and results-based budgeting. And we'll continue to prioritize our commitment to being good stewards and managers of the state's resources. With that, Chair Marty and members, I'll be happy to answer questions.
Thank you, Commissioner. And I'll note that in the packets, the two previous finance chairs, Senator Rosen and Senator Cohen, both sent a wonderful letter talking about how wonderful it is to work with you, and I concur with that. Are there questions from the committee? Senator Dames.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair, and Mr. Showalter, thank you for being here this morning. We truly do appreciate it. There's a Senate file number 46, authored by Senator Marty, and that's on the inflation aspect in the budgeting forecast and process. Back when that was still being done back in the early 2000s, that was usually showed as a line item. How do you plan on operationalizing this into the bill under the current situation if that is passed?
Commissioner.
Mr. Chair, Senator, great question. Inflation, and it was discussed in this committee, I think just last week, and Deputy Commissioner Raitan was here for part of that conversation. We would expect to implement that, especially if this first forecast, as a single line item. I think the intent on the part of MMB, and I believe the author, but is that this is a generalized pressure, that we're not trying to make a specific estimate of inflation for each particular line item in the budget, but rather to recognize that there is a generalized cost pressure inside the long-term projections that the state has. So that is one of the ways that it has been handled in the past. That's how I would intend to implement it going forward. And the reason, again, is that the impact of inflation is going to be variable. You're going to see it different numbers and different ways of recognizing it. But right now, at this level of specificity, what we're trying to do is make sure that we see the revenues which grow with impact of inflation and the overall spending level so that they're kind of an apples and apples comparison.
Follow-up, Mr. Chair?
Go ahead.
Mr. Showalter, let's say that there is a deflationary period. How would you show that? Would you actually show a minus inflation?
Go ahead.
Mr. Chair, Senator, I haven't really considered that. I suppose so. I don't recall any time that has occurred, but I'd have to look at the law again just to make sure that it would allow for it. I think the legislation, the law would be flexible enough. I'm looking at Eric Nauman just to make sure it goes up and down.
Mr. Nauman.
Mr. Chair and Commissioner, there was testimony from your agency when we considered the bill the last time that there was at least one quarter in the last 3 years where there was a deflationary quarter, and the testimony was that that was internalized into the estimate. So I think there is permission. I mean, the language in the law speaks to would speak to inflation under Senator Marty's bill. But I think members of the committee have had discussion when the bill was considered about whether the law should be more specific to allow for that.
And as the author of it, I think, and we all had that discussion the other day. I mean, absolutely, we were discussing whether inflation, positive and negative inflation is deflation. And yes, I think that the law clearly leaves it to the agencies to handle it the way I think any budget office would do it, and that is to include it both ways. And in terms of Senator Dames, in terms of how they do it, yeah, I don't expect them to do. I specifically took out the amendment, author's amendment at the bill was to take out language that could have been interpreted as you must in the forecast figure out what the inflation impact on each aspect of the budget is. I think that's a lot more work, and it's very difficult to do that in a wise way. So I think the goal is here to make sure that we're aware of where we stand. This is a forecast. It's not part of our budget process. It's part of the information we need in order to put together a good budget.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Follow up?
Go ahead.
So, Mr. Showalter, would it be fair to say that that we should probably make sure in this bill that we have clarity as to what is meant with inflation and deflation? Would you support that?
Mr. Chair, Senator? Yes. I think the notion that we recognize and all understand how we're going to work with this, it makes sense to me. I think, Senator, one of the things that when I read the language is it's pretty broad, and one of the key flexibilities is to make sure that fiscal staff of both bodies and MMB are consulting with each other so that the wishes of the committee are really understood and that it's not a unilateral action by MMB in how it's implemented. And I think that's an important feature of this as well, so that we constantly understand that if we're in a place where over a course of a year we have deflation, we will all be talking about many things about finance and are managing that together.
Thank you. And no further questions.
Thank you. And on that point, the law already does require you to work with the legislative leadership, and I think that's been the tradition. So, Senator Friends.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Commissioner. I'm going to be a yes vote on this committee recommending your confirmation to the full Senate. I mean that sincerely. Tempted to ask you about your academic background, in particular your undergraduate work, but I think the committee can be spared that. I do want to point out, though, that one of the hallmarks of your work has been engagement, not just with members, but with nonpartisan staff. And for those of us who depend on nonpartisan staff, that's a big deal. And I, anticipating the possibility of full confirmation, want to encourage you. You know, members rely on nonpartisan staff for a different perspective, and we need that, and especially in the Finance Committee. I'm applauding the work that you've done, and I'm encouraging you to keep that up, because as we go through some of this stuff on the budget, you know, we're going to need to turn to Mr. Nauman and others and say, hey, what's this? What's the history of this? How does this fit in? What's the perspective here? And I, for one, am just a member that really appreciates that. And so just wanted to get that out there, Mr. Chair. And thank you very much, Commissioner.
Thank you. Senator Pappas.
Mr. Chairman, Commissioner, welcome, and certainly support your work here and your confirmation. But I also will decline to mention, as Senator Friends did, your educational background, but for different reasons.
For those who are not doing, I think that each of the two senators mentioning attended, graduated from the same programs or schools that Commissioner
different ones.
From. What?
Different ones.
Different, yes. Senator Friends, I believe, was McAllister, and I think yours was Harvard. Yeah. Okay. Are there other comments? Senator Murphy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm a graduate of the University of Wisconsin in Oshkosh, just FYI. Malted School of Nursing there, and a Humphrey Policy Fellow. That's right. And I noticed that we're in a room that is largely empty as we take up this issue, and there's somebody from your team that is here, but there's another group of people that are in this room, and I'm just wondering if you could help us understand who's with you today.
Commissioner.
Mr. Chair, Senator, I'd be delighted. I was considering whether I should take the privilege in my opening remarks, and I thank you for the question. With me today is my spouse, Stephanie, my daughter, Julia, and son, Sam. I think they're here in support of confirmation, but I'm not 100% sure, Senator, so I appreciate if there's any notes that come to you, read them later.
Commissioner, it looks like it was a 2-1 vote on that.
Mr. Chair and Commissioner, their facial expressions are sending a lot of signals, largely in support. Yeah, thank you.
Is there further discussion? I would say, as one who's worked with the commissioner on and off over the years many times, it's a real pleasure and look forward to continuing to do it. And if there is no further discussion, I'll again restate that the paperwork glitch here did not get the confirmation papers needed for us to act today, so we will act on it. It's a simple up or down vote. We'll take care of that at our next meeting, and you don't have to be here for that. But if there's no further discussion from members of the committee, this meeting is adjourned, and thank you for being here.
Thank you.